White House creates new migration paths without okay from Congress. By Neil Monroe on December 19, 2022. President Joe Biden's deputies are redirecting their chaotic flood of illegal economic migrants into quiet, quasi-legal pipelines while they lift the Title 42 border barrier, perhaps as early as Wednesday. The plan could quickly deliver hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Cubans into the U.S. economy, regardless of Congress' annual caps on migration. How can we build a lawful pathway for individuals so that they don't have to traverse dangerous terrain in the hands of smugglers, but rather, so we can pre-qualify them for entry? The Cuban-born border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas, told the El Paso Matters newspaper on December 15. He continued, "We can vet and screen them beforehand, outside the United States, assess their eligibility, and then have them travel safely to the United States to ports of entry in the interior by plane, which is what we've seen in a tremendously successful program for 24,000 Venezuelans." The administration is trying to change the way immigration policy is made without consulting Congress, said Mark Kerkorian, director of the Center for Immigration Studies. "Congress has set a limit of roughly 1 million immigrants each year," said Kerkorian. "They are trying to see if they can get away with the kind of thing that the executive branch got away with, the constitutional war-making power. The constitutional requirement of a declaration of war is now an archaic thing, like something of Edward Gibbon, 1776 author of The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. What they would like is to effect the same kind of de facto constitutional change without having anybody actually vote on it." Mayorkas is allowing pseudo-legal immigration because he's using the pretense that it is legal, said Rosemary Jenks, the director of government affairs for Numbers USA. "The sky's the limit in Mayorkas' mind because he's an open border zealot," she added. Mayorkas's new asylum and parole pipelines are already operational, likely illegal and corrupt, and they also offer Americans little except lower wages and higher rents. Since the 1990s, the federal government's migration policy has forced down Americans' wages. It has also boosted rents and housing prices, and it has reduced native-born Americans' clout in local and national elections. The policy has also pushed many native-born Americans out of jobs and careers in a wide variety of fields, even as it has inflated corporate profits, real estate values, and Wall Street. Mayorkas and White House deputies have been briefing sympathetic reporters on their new strategy to convert illegal migration into quasi-legal pipelines. The Wall Street Journal reported on December 19. For migrants of some nationalities, the administration is planning to offer an alternative path into the U.S., allowing them to apply through an online portal for permission to fly to the U.S., where they can live on temporary humanitarian grounds and apply for asylum. The administration created such an immigration program for Venezuelan migrants in October, and it is expected to be expanded to Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans. Some migrants will also be permitted to apply for asylum at legal land border crossings, though the administration will likely require them to register for an appointment in advance by filling out their information on a mobile application called CBP1, according to people familiar with their thinking. It couldn't be determined how many migrants would be permitted to enter the U.S. using either pathway. In November, Mayorkas and his deputies shut down most border crossing by Venezuelans, but offered free immigration parole entry to 24,000 Venezuelans who apply at U.S. embassies. ABC News reported on December 13. The Biden administration is solidifying plans to slash the number of migrants who would qualify for asylum at the southern border while opening up new, narrow pathways for some would-be migrants to apply while still in their home countries, four sources familiar with the plan said. Among the proposals under strong consideration are new programs for Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Cubans to apply for humanitarian parole from their home countries, three U.S. officials said. The pathways for those migrants would be similar to a program launched this fall that admitted 24,000 Venezuelans who could prove they would be sponsored in the U.S. while denying entry to the vast majority of Venezuelans arriving at the border. The Department of Homeland Security is also planning new training for asylum officers who interview migrants crossing the border, the three officials said. They would be instructed to let migrants enter the U.S. to pursue protections if they qualify under the International Convention Against Torture, a much higher bar than credible fear, previously required for asylum. Axios reported on December 12. The new rule is still in the process of being finalized but would lead to people being considered ineligible for asylum, as was previously reported by Axios, unless they meet any of the following criteria. Applied for legal pathways to the U.S. like refugee status or new parole processes, such as the one created for Venezuelans in October. First sought protection in a country they had to travel through to get to the U.S. Scheduled a meeting at a legal entry point ahead of time through an app run by border authorities, a brand new process. Are facing extreme circumstances, such as a medical emergency or other immediate, severe harm. The administration's promised fixes are causing more of the problem. On December 5, for example, Mayorkas claimed his easy migration policies are caused by the international migration that he accelerates. Now, what we are experiencing at the border today is unique because of the fact that what we are experiencing is not something exclusive to our southern border. It is not something exclusive to our great partner and friend to the south, Mexico. It is something that the entire hemisphere is experiencing. We are seeing migration that is unprecedented in scope. Let me take Venezuela as an example, a country with a population of about 25 million to 27 million people. More than 7 million people have left Venezuela. Colombia is hosting approximately 2.4 million Venezuelans. Chile is hosting more than a million. Costa Rica, a small country, is hosting I think between 2 and 5% of its population is now Nicaraguan. We're seeing a movement of people throughout the hemisphere and, quite frankly, around the world. Venezuelan-born Joseph Steven is just one of many migrants who quit their foreign jobs to migrate up to the United States because President Biden and Mayorkas opened the doors. The book club of Chicago.org told his story in a December 7 report. One day, that friend, in Chile, asked Steven if he'd like to go with him to the United States to get a better job. Steven worried the trip would be too difficult for just two people. And he was doing well in Chile, he thought. But his friend persisted and said they would be part of a larger group heading north, he remembered. Steven decided to go for it. From what he'd heard, there were opportunities in the United States for someone like him to find a job making enough to buy a car, a home and support a family, he said. With a suitcase and a bus ticket, Steven started the six-week journey to America. When we were on the bus leaving Texas, I felt very happy. I had achieved my goal. And now that I was leaving Texas, I would have more opportunities in Chicago for work, Steven said. Steven said he'd like to save money for an apartment. For now, he is passing on what he knows to help other migrants at the shelter get settled, where to look for a job, where in the city folks speak Spanish. Mayorkas and his progressive allies want more migrants, even though they are trying to suppress the cartel's often lethal migrant smuggling business. So they are building a taxpayer-funded and multinational rival network that is intended to smuggle many migrants safely past the cartels and quietly past the majority of Americans who oppose the labor smuggling policy established by the Alliance of Business Elites and Progressive Ideologues. The Mayorkas network first gets migrants into the United States via the parole and asylum pipelines and then distributes them around the country via emergency funding. For example, Mayorkas officials are also leasing more buses and shelter spaces to quickly and quietly move many more migrants from the border into American workplaces and housing. This uncapped goal is hidden under Mayorkas' safe, orderly, and humane slogan. The Wall Street Journal reported on December 13. Officials are planning for a worst-case scenario of up to 20,000 migrants crossing the border a day once the policy is lifted, according to people familiar with their thinking. Few officials expect a surge to grow that large, the people said, but the benchmark helps government agencies ensure they have enough people, buses and other equipment to care for and transport migrants once they are in government custody. Mayorkas network then legalizes migrants with pro-migration judges and lax administration policies, such as the quick distribution of work permits and long-term visas, via the Temporary Protect Status Program. These taxpayer-funded operations are backed up by a huge and expensive network of shelters, lawyers, and training centers that are funded by business-backed donors. but Mayorkas' uses of the parole and asylum loopholes are likely illegal. For example, the Biden administration has refused to detain economic migrants who simply claim they need asylum from oppression by foreign governments. The elite-touted policy allows huge numbers of asylum seekers to quickly get U.S. jobs, pay off smuggling debts, and establish themselves in the United States while they wait years for asylum hearings and potential legal appeals. The Supreme Court heard a case in late November where elected GOP officials said the administration is violating federal law by not detailing all asylum seekers until their cases are decided. Biden's deputies argued they do not have enough resources to detain the migrants, and 1 week later, asked Congress for another $3.5 billion to help catch and release the migrants into U.S. jobs. Similarly, Mayorkas is using the immigration parole loophole to move hundreds of thousands of migrants into the United States, even though the parole rule was created for occasional, individual emergencies. They don't even articulate any public benefit to this, said Christopher Hayek, the director of litigation at the D.C.-based Immigration Law Reform Institute. It's got to be individualized, and show it benefits the public, but they don't articulate anything, he told Breitbart News. A lawsuit against the Mayorkas parole pipeline has been filed in Florida. Mayorkas has also established a process that allows Mexico-based migrants to file requests to enter and work in the United States, with the help of U.S.-funded pro-migration advocates in Mexico. The new program, which seems to use parole and the asylum loopholes, is being hidden by the administration, even though it may have allowed entry to 100,000 migrants, including many young men from Mexico. For Mayorkas, it's the ultimate silent way to accomplish his objectives. They're not recorded as apprehensions, said George Fishman, a former immigration law staffer in the House. Theoretically, the process allows migrants to not pay the cartel's border tax, dubbed the piso, but the migrants are reportedly been forced to pay for access to Mayorkas pipeline, or are allowed to buy their way to the front of the line. The San Diego Union-Tribune reported on December 11. Multiple sources have told the Union Tribune about similar issues of extortion and corruption in the temporary program for processing some asylum seekers. None of them were willing to be named, citing serious safety concerns related to organized crime. Mayorkas deputies downplay the corruption in favor of more migration. The most important thing is that there is accessibility to a legal pathway. That was closed for quite a while, San Ysidro Port Director Marisa Marin said. It's difficult for CBP, Customs and Border Protection Agency, being a domestic agency, to change the threat picture and what goes on in Tijuana. The complex migration process helps to hide the scale of the post-1990 migration from ordinary Americans. Since January 2021, for example, Mayorkas' variety of legal, illegal, and quasi-legal routes has added roughly 3 million migrants to the U.S. population. The 2023 inflow may be double the 3.6 million 2021 births in the United States. There is no evidence whatsoever that Mayorkas and his allies want to protect Americans from the pocketbook damage caused by their cell phone amplified welcome for millions of foreign economic migrants. For example, Mayorkas announced in early December that he would welcome another 65,000 H-2B laborers into the economy, even though he welcomes as 150,000 additional migrant workers each month. Also, the White House announced its support for a bill that would dramatically raise the incentive for employers to hire cheap foreign graduates for white-collar jobs. Extraction migration. Government officials try to grow the economy by raising exports, productivity, and the birth rate. But officials want rapid results, so they also try to expand the economy by extracting millions of migrants from poor countries to serve as extra workers, consumers, and renters. This policy floods the labor market, and so it shifts vast wealth from ordinary people to older investors, coastal billionaires, and Wall Street. It makes it difficult for Americans to advance in their careers, get married, raise families, buy homes, or gain wealth. Extraction migration slows innovation and shrinks Americans' productivity. This happens because migration allows employers to boost stock prices by using stoop labor and disposable workers instead of the skilled American professionals and productivity-boosting technology that earlier allowed Americans in their communities to earn more money. This migration policy also reduces exports because it minimizes shareholder pressure on C-suite executives to take career risks by trying to grow exports to poor countries. Outside government, migration also undermines employees' workplace rights. And it widens the regional economic gaps between the Democrats' cheap labor coastal states and the Republicans' heartland and southern states. An economy fueled by extraction migration also drains Americans' political clout over elites and it alienates young people. It radicalizes Americans' democratic civic culture because it gives a moral excuse for wealthy elites and progressives to ignore despairing Americans at the bottom of society, such as drug addicts. This diversify and rule investor strategy is enthusiastically pushed by progressives. They wish to transform the U.S. from a society governed by European origin civic culture into an economic empire of jealous identity groups overseen by progressive hall monitors. We're trying to become the first multiracial, multi-ethnic superpower in the world, Silicon Valley Representative Rohit Khanna, DCA, told the New York Times in March 2022. It will be an extraordinary achievement. We will ultimately triumph, he boasted. But the progressive-backed, colonialism-like migration policy kills many migrants. It exploits the poverty of migrants and splits foreign families as it extracts human resources from poor home countries to serve wealthy U.S. investors. Progressives hide this extraction migration economic policy behind a wide variety of noble-sounding explanations and theatrical border security programs. Progressives claim the U.S. is a nation of immigrants, that economic migrants are political victims, that migration helps migrants more than Americans, and that the state must renew itself by replacing populations. Similarly, establishment Republicans, businesses, and GOP donors hide the pocketbook impact. They prefer to divert voters' attention toward border chaos, welfare spending, terror-linked migrants, migrant crime, and drug smuggling. Many polls show the public wants to welcome some immigration. But the polls also show deep and broad public opposition to labor migration and the inflow of temporary contract workers into the jobs needed by the families of blue-collar and white-collar Americans. This third-rail opposition is growing, anti-establishment, multiracial, cross-sex, non-racist, class-based, bipartisan, rational, persistent, and recognizes the solidarity that American citizens owe to one another.